around, Judy, get down. Y'all can get down, Judy, be loud. You can be loud and be proud. You can be proud here, be proud, Judy, rebel, cause the South's gonna do it again. Hi, y'all. This is Charlie Daniels. I've been telling you the South's going to do it again. Well, the South Shore's going to do it again, too. Monday Night Talk. Leave it where it's at.
Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. We want to thank State Representative Jeff Deal for joining us for a couple of moments. If you're somebody, again, I believe it's tankthegastax.org. If you want to get involved, if you want to help with that particular movement. I'm interested in seeing what happens at both the Abington and East Bridgewater town meeting that I know that the state representative is attending. Well, speaking about elections and things all political, we're going to kind of go in another direction, as we had kind of let you know at around 6:15 when we gave you the rundown as to what's going on. We kind of gave you an idea of some of the folks who were here who started assembling. Larry's still here, and Bernie's here, and we have Betsy Zulis Clegg, or Betsy Clegg.
Whatever you want to call me, Kevin.
Who is, and how would folks know who you are, Betsy?
Well, you got me.
Betsy, who worked at WBET.
WBET and WATD.
ATD.
At the dump years ago.
Somebody who has put her time in and done an excellent job as to setting a standard when it came to at that particular time when I was growing up listening to folks who were doing the news and how they were articulating it and keeping us informed. You were one of the ones that I listened to back in the day.
Thank you.
So it's an honor to have you here and kind of talking about something you know well, and that is city politics, things that are going on in that city. We know there's a big day coming up. How do you guys feel about tomorrow? I hear the one word that I keep hearing that I heard, you know, a number of years ago when a certain president was running, change. And I think that was another word that we're hearing with this election, is that that folks want change. Betsy, we'll start with you. What do you think of this election that we got coming up tomorrow in the city of Brockton?
I think, well, you know, it's interesting because I covered politics on a very local level for so many years and then became personally interested in politics as a parent, as a downtown Brockton business owner. So it's something, it's been fun to make that kind of journey to the other side of that.
Mm.
I think that the elections, both the preliminary as well as the final election tomorrow, look, you always want to see more people involved. You don't want to see whole swaths and whole demographics go getting no attention, as was the case sometimes in the past. But there's been a lot, so I'd like to see more interest, but I love the level of interest that we've seen. To have so many candidates come out in the preliminary election, people can complain until the cows come home about how terrible everything is. But when things are at their worst, you do not see people running for office. In 2007, in 2008, and 2009, when the economy had tanked, you didn't have a lot of people coming out to be new candidates for public office. Things are getting better, and I know that not only from my personal experience as a homeowner and a business owner and a parent in Brockton, but also the number of people who want to be a part of it. So it's exciting.
Bernie Hassan, who also a radio guy who knows politics, has followed it for a number of years, also a business owner, somebody who loves the city of Brockton. Give me your thoughts on tomorrow, the big election, at least in the city of Brockton.
Well, I think we're going to see a pretty good voter turnout. I think there's going to be a lot more interest, in this general election this time around, for the obvious reason, you know, whenever you have a mayoral candidate, a mayoral a run. Also, but there's a lot of people, there's going to be some change on the city council, which hasn't happened in a long time.
That's right.
So, you know, that's something that I think we can agree.
Well, let's the fact be told, you have a number of, whether it's ward council, whether it's school committee, at large, yeah. And who knows, we could have a new mayor.
Yep.
We could have somebody who, for the first time since, Jack Units, got more than just two terms. So with Linda Balzani, so it there's a lot of things that are kind of up in the air here. Now Larry is here in an aspect where he started a group on Facebook called the Brockton Hub, and it seems it went from looking at being nostalgic and looking at old pictures and talking about things to do in Brockton to where people get quite downright political.
Oh yeah, it's a political storm.
how do you kind of, being somebody who oversees it, how do you kind of, you know, how do you kind of just kind of separate folks at times? When do you say, okay, we'll let this debate go on, let this thread go on for 200 some odd, you know, comments before you go, okay, we'll shut it down?
You know, I look for any kind of personal. We want to make sure that they're not being too personal toward, whatever their biases might be, whatever their strong opinions might be. I try to keep an eye out to protect everyone's integrity. I'll let a comment go on or a post, say, go on 200, 300 comments, as long as there's, a lot of give and take, and there's not, there's not too much political bashing, and we're not that's not the playing field for that.
That's hard to control until after the fact, though. I mean, you have to. Do you find yourself removing posts that are really?
Oh yeah, I have
inappropriate.
Like I have a group of people that I call the Judiciary Committee that no one really knows who's on it, but they keep an eye on everything that goes on there. If they see something get out of hand, because obviously I work every day, I can't keep my eyes on it 24 hours.
So you have a couple sets of eyes that they'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Do you have administrators who can go in if they need to, or is that strictly just you?
That's strictly me.
You're the only one with the key to the keys,
with
the nuclear arsenal. Okay.
Yes.
It's it's funny. I don't think of the social media and the internet as having much in the way of standards at all. So that's nice to hear.
Joining us on the phone line, he's unable to be here, but he's here via the phone, Mr. Richard Bath, who is a gentleman who, I believe, Ward 2 School Committee. I believe that he's been assigned in regards to helping out with the school system currently. Mr. Bath, are you there?
Yes, I am, Kevin. Hi. Hi, guys. How are you?
How are you? You recently were bestowed the honor. I know the new superintendent was looking to kind of get people to kind of help out in regards to a listening tour and kind of get her administration up and running. Are you part of that?
Yeah, actually, Kathy Smith has asked me to be the chairman of her transition team.
Thank you.
So what we've done is that we've created what we call, what I call the listening tour, where we've gone to all of the middle schools in Brockton, and we've invited parents and stakeholders to come in and have a conversation with Kathy Smith. And then on the transition team, I've asked four college presidents, three CEOs, and other members of the business community and the clergy to serve on subcommittees that we've divided up into four specific areas in which we're doing research from them to see what's what's hot, what's not in the Brockton public school system. And rather than have Kathy, the new superintendent, just come in and, like most superintendents do, and just create an entry plan, one of the things I said to Kathy was that, look at you're like a CEO of a major corporation. You've got $250 million budget, which includes grants. You've got 2,000 employees and 17,500 students. And in the real world, that's a major corporation. So let's treat it as such, and let's put together a strategic plan. She liked it, and so that's what we're doing. So I'm heading up the entire committee.
Richard, give me your thoughts. I kind of let Betsy and Larry and Bernie kind of weigh in, and we'll let Joe do it in a moment as well, as far as the political climate in the city of, in the city of Brockton. Articulate your thoughts on it.
I think what we're going to see is that, I think it's already been mentioned, you're going to see a school committee that's going to change, because there's going to be three new school committee members, and then you're going to see a city council that's going to change. And, up until last week, I almost predicted the mayor's race, and I think, Kevin, the last time I was on your show with Bernie, I think Bernie, I said that I thought it could be the current mayor at win by 2 points, but after the debate that I saw, the last debate at Massasoit, I'm not sure anymore. I think it's a toss-up. I think it's going to be a tight race. I think Carpenter held his own during the debates, you know, and he brought up a lot of good questions that, you know, have gone unanswered. So.
Professor, let's let Bernie and then I want to play a couple of clips. So Bernie first, go ahead.
Professor Bernie Hassan here.
Hi Bernie, how are you?
How you doing? Listen. Again, our last conversation where your mind has changed based on what you've seen, and I have to be honest with you, you know, I agree with you. I think it's probably realistically too close to call. However, I really have to say I think Bill Carpenter's campaign has put the pedal to the metal, and it has got a significant role going. So it would not shock me that he would win in a close race.
Betsy?
Tomorrow.
Good evening, Richard. So nice to hear your voice again.
Hey, how are you?
Very
sorry
well.
I can't be there with you.
Very well.
You're here in spirit.
As well. That's right. And in voice.
Right.
I have to say there is a lot of excitement being generated, a lot of excitement by the Carpenter campaign. I saw one of the Massasoit debates, and I also saw the Council on Aging debate, the last debate between the two of them, where Mr. Carpenter said that he was going to sue the Aquaria plant if he gets elected. He's going to stop payments right away, and he's going to sue the Aquaria plant. You know, I wish there had been some news stories and some further questioning
right.
about that. But I think he did a good job in the debates. I think the debates were interesting and exciting. I think in the end, I think Mayor Balzotti is going to be reelected tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of folks have looked at that campaign and said, wow, she made a conscious decision to run a positive campaign
right.
and not get into anything that could be interpreted as a personal attack.
And we actually have some clips from last Monday night's debate, if you would, Larry. Roll the first one.
This reputation for violence that the city has is hurting all of us. It hurts homeowners' property values, and it hurts business in this city. Businesses are reluctant to locate here, not just because of our high commercial property taxes, but they're also reluctant to locate here because they're afraid that their customers will be afraid to come to their business in Brockton. So we have to turn the corner on violent crime. I've put forward a very specific 10-point plan. We need to do community policing. We need to adopt anti-gang techniques that have worked in Springfield. We need to address some of the long-term issues that affect crime in our city, like a drug court for the Brockton District Court. So anyone that does not think that crime is the number one issue in this city is not paying attention.
Larry, if you will play the second one, please.
First off, I just want to say that we actually have an anti-gang task force in the city working diligently. But in addition to that, it is not just law enforcement issues that you have to deal with. It's societal issues. And we've taken on a lot of preventative work in terms of working with young people to address crime. I don't think that anybody is saying that there is not a public safety issue, but what I am saying is each and every day the men and women of the Brockton Police Force are working diligently to address those issues. And to say that they are not, or to assume that their work is not being done.
Well, if I'm the mayor, we'll be sweeping the bad guys off the streets of the city every day, not just for high profile purposes for the newspaper.
Mr. Carpenter, starting in 2010 and 2012 is not high profile. And if you have your way about how you want to do things, we're going to end up in court more than we're going to end up arresting people because you got to follow the Constitution.
You see, Mayor, I'm very familiar with the Constitution. I am more interested in protecting the constitutional rights of the law-abiding citizens and families right. that have to live in the dangerous right. neighborhoods in this city. Let's protect their rights first.
Folks.
And then you cost taxpayers more money.
Today's word is constitution. I think we've used that a couple of times. Betsy, you want to kind of go first and weigh in?
Yeah. Civil rights is one of the areas where I do most of my practice, and I have to tell you that crime is always a great issue to talk about during elections, but unfortunately a lot of the talk about crime that happens during election seasons doesn't end up in results that are useful to the community. The fact is, in this city, between September 11th, 2011, and August 9th of 2012, there was not a single shooting death. That's 11 months during the Balzotti administration. I know she doesn't get any credit for that now because there have been shootings over the summer, but I remember the days when I was reporting on 12 murders a year, 16 murders a year. Not to say that everything's great, but I think that it's important for people to keep in mind that there are strategies that work, and then there's demagoguery, and people will decide for themselves which is which.
Right. Bernie, first of all, we've been policing in this city the same way for the last 15 or 20 years. Ineffective. We were undermanned, and quite frankly, some of the things that he brought up with regard to Springfield, if you've watched 60 Minutes in that program about military-style insurgency that the state police employed in North Springfield to take those neighborhoods back, that is we're doing none of that here in the city of Brockton. What? None of that. None of that in the city of Brockton.
All right, hold on. When you're done, I want to let Richard weigh in, because I heard Richard.
Go ahead.
Again, I think we're misinterpreting the candidate's theme with regard to, he's going to get us into court and he's going to break the Constitution. That's not what he's talking about at all. Mm-hmm. What he's talking about is having a different view of law enforcement other than what we've just been doing day to day. Don't get me wrong. We're out there with public safety. It's a great city. But policing has changed, and we need to change.
It's changed and changed back. And the fact is, on one hand, I hear Mr. Carpenter talking about Neighborhood Watch. And we've had many of those kinds of programs in the city. Some have worked better than others. But on the other hand, I hear him saying that these neighborhoods need to be treated like Iraq and Afghanistan.
I think he says neighborhood.
It seems inconsistent to me.
But hold on. I believe he talks neighborhood policing, not neighborhood neighborhood watch.
That's part
difference.
Of the problem that I don't think we understand. If you go look at that 60 Minutes program, if you want to call the state police that are involved in that program, we are not talking about military-style tanks coming down the street. That's kind of what the Linda Malzotti campaign kind of was inferring. That's not what the program is about. It's door-to-door. It's in the street. It's, if you want to talk about community policing.
Visibility is what you're trying to say. Visibility.
But not just walking up and down the street. Getting to know the people, getting in the heads of the neighborhoods. Check that out on 60 Minutes.
I actually know the individual at the State House who helped fund that program in Springfield. And I can tell you that the office that the individual I know works in that headed up that program in Springfield, they have had some of the best results from that program in the country when it comes to taking back gang infiltrated neighborhoods. And that's just from a non-biased looking at statistics within the program. And I believe it was started in Chicago, and it's in Springfield right now in Massachusetts.
I think the fun of radio is having, like, it's like an in-studio debate breaking up.
Joe's saying is... it was effective, and Richard is still on the line. I know he wants to get to it.
Yeah, I do actually.
Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, I don't. First of all, there's no quick fix for crime issues in any urban center. There's no quick fix here, and we all understand. I tell you what I thought was missing during that back and forth between the two candidates. Everybody was talking about, well, we have a plan in place. We have this, we have this. And I think what I wanted to hear as I was sitting in that audience, well, give me some bullet points as to exactly what it is that you've done, what it is that you plan on doing. Give me some specifics here. We never get boiled down. We never break it down into specifics because when we get into election mode, and look, I've been an elected official. I ran on the notion of if I'm asked a question, I'm going to answer it. And if I say that I've got a plan, I'm going to outline it. Right. I didn't hear the outline of each of the plans. I know Linda has done a heck of a job in trying to combat the crime in the streets. But remember, we are a nation of what have you done for me lately?
That's right.
I don't want to hear about the history aspect of that. What are you going to do about the shooting that was in the street the other night? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? And I think whoever takes over as mayor, I mean, we are running the city police 100 police or 75 police short of what we should be running here. So, and think about gangs. Whenever you arrest one gang member, there's two or three ready to take over in that place.
let's kind of go around the room.
Their place.
Because I want to make sure that we don't just focus just on the one race. Again, let's not forget that we got the council at large race. You could either have four new at-large positions. You might have two incumbents and two new faces.
Sure.
You've got other, you have a couple of other races that are heated races, whether it's Ward 1, Ward 5. Yep. I don't know if there's even a pulse in Ward 6, but there's a race going on there regardless.
Ward 7.
Ward 7, which is, you know, the open seat. Chris McMillan, who, you know, ran for mayor. That's, you know, that was a race that I think some folks thought Dick Sicaro was a shoo-in. Dick Sicaro was not picked. And you have two folks, one person who is, you know, a former, I shouldn't say former, but, you know, he still is a sitting school committee member who's looking to be the next ward in Tim Sullivan. Let's not forget that the woman who's running, I'm surprised.
Shirley Azak.
Bright
young woman.
Fantastic job. So,
and now she pulled papers for the school committee seat and the city council seat.
A lot of people do that. Yeah.
People do that.
Yeah, people do that.
They do that. But I just want to make sure that we don't get caught up in the one
race. It's pretty tough because it obviously, you know, those races are like that. But you're absolutely correct.
Sure.
That city council, and we were talking earlier, is going to change.
It is.
It's going to change. It's going to be the biggest change
how drastic
that I can ever remember seeing in my lifetime.
Robert's Rules is going to get a workout.
You really think so?
Oh, the Robert's Rules of Order by which city? I mean, because, and you know, I've seen this with city council and with school committee for decades, where people say, I'm going to go in and change the world. And then after January, you don't hear anything, not a peep for 6 months or so.
Right.
And that's happened recently as well as in the past.
Richard?
Yeah, no, I agree with that assumption. We say that we're all going to go in and change, and you got to understand that you're just one of a group of people that are on those committees. But, you know, if you say that you're running on a platform to say I'm going to go in there and change, and I agree with what was just said. You know, don't just sit there and don't do anything. For 5 or 6 months, start the process. Do your homework before you run for election process. Now I got to tell you, on the listening tour that I've conducted with Kathy Smith, I've got to tell you, every single person who is running for school committee, every single person, all the new guys on the block have been at these listening tours vehemently taking notes, asking questions, and really doing their homework. So I think when we get the new school committee member in 7, I think it's 3 and 5, they've been very visible out in the neighborhoods already.
That's great.
They're doing their homework. Now, I haven't seen much of that with the other at-large folk. Okay, I haven't seen much of that.
Right.
But I do think you're going to get a chance. I think the two incumbents are going to get reelected. I think Jace gets reelected. I think Bobby Sullivan gets reelected.
Well, they both pulled big numbers in the preliminary. Is it kind of a given?
They know how to campaign. And, you know, I see Bobby Sullivan out at the Brockton High School entrance at 5 o'clock on the nights that there's a Friday night football with his dad.
That's the peak time you want to be there.
He's the first one there. Yeah. And then everybody else. And Jace is a champion.
When you come in 1 and 2 in that particular race, it's good for at least 1 or 2 percentage points in the polls.
Sure.
It's got to be.
I don't think there's any doubt in two of the at-large seats. I really don't, because I don't see anybody. I think the difference in the number 1 and 2 vote getters and the third place and fourth place vote getters was a couple of thousand votes. So I don't see that being made up. So what I'm looking at is a Moses Rodriguez, a Shayna Bonds, and was it Craig Pina?
Craig Pina.
I think they were the next three in line. So I think I see that really tightening up, and the long shot of Tony Donegan could filter in there because he got, although he finished 8th. Yeah, he's out there knocking on doors and sending out phone calls and doing a whole bunch of things. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be really interesting.
It is.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think it's exciting to see all of these people running. I want to see everybody.
It's kind of refreshing.
It does. It says something about the actual direction of
the
city.
We all want change.
And I want to ask, as far as the at-large race, is it really going to matter where you are placement-wise on the ballot? Is it possible that Shayna Barnes and Paul Beckner are the ones who will reap because they're third and fourth behind the incumbent.
There's always some benefit to that. That's there, always good for
traditionally. You
know, there is some.
Yeah, for a healthy
traditionally they get more.
But you got to look at some of these names below them. The last two, Craig Pina and Moises Rodriguez, are kind of political staples in the
They're
city.
They're well-known names now.
This is what we're going to
do. You know, Craig and Moises might be political staples, but each time they've run before, they did not fare so well.
But there wasn't a lot of change.
The history of their campaigns has not been great. They've changed their tune. So this year could possibly be a little bit different. Because when Moises ran for city council, he ran in Ward 4, which is his home ward, and I think he got about 89 votes. So now running at large, he's got more. And he's done the homework. He's done his work. He's knocked door to door. So it really depends on, you know, how willing each of the candidates are to get out there and bang on doors.
Richard, here's what we're going to do. We're going to step aside. We're going to take a break, top of the hour. Do you want to stay on the phone line?
Sure.
Because we're going to also take phone calls from the candidates and also from voters. They want to weigh in.
Okay.
So when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Kevin is waiting to talk with you. Call 781-837-4900. Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, 95.9 WATD.
And we are back to Monday Night Talk. And we have been talking about the race that's taking place in the city of Brockton tomorrow. Again, I opened the door. Maybe there's somebody who's listening up in the Boston area who wants it. There's a big mayoral race going on up.
That's exciting, too.
Do you think so?
Oh, you've got somebody who's pitched himself as the education candidate running against a heavily supported legislative guy.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of people are scratching their heads that some of the other candidates, who most of whom were very qualified in the preliminary, didn't do better.
Right. So folks want to call in if there's a particular race other than Brockton. I welcome it. What the heck?
Why not?
781-837-4900 is still with me is Bernie Hassan, Larry Boyd, and Betsy Clegg, and I believe on the line Richard Bath is still with us at this particular time. Until we get calls, until we start hearing from folks, I guess what I'll ask is, and Richard, I'll go with you first because you're not here. We're folks, I could point at you. Go ahead, you go first because kind of when we get ahead of wind here, folks kind of want to get out what they want to say. It's kind of hard to stop someone.
Yeah, but I think that's important, too. I'm enjoying the back and forth between the three, the four of you in the studio. I just wish I was there with you.
I want to hear, give me, other than the mayor's race, are you looking at the at-large? Is there a ward council race you're watching? Or are you watching, I know you're fond for the school side of things. Is there a school committee race that you're watching at this particular time?
No, I think first of all there are three unchallenged candidates, so I don't think a school committee is not so much on the forefront of things. Although Ward 2, there is a race with Ward 2. Andy's got an opponent.
Crystal Love.
I believe that's her
Crystal
name.
Crystal with a K.
Against Andy Robinson.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, but I think the race that there are two races actually. I think the Ward 7 City Council race is going to be hotly contested. I'm not sure who I want to call on that one. Mm. And even though I think Tim Cruz has been in Ward 1 for 8 years, maybe 9 years or 10 years or something like that. I think his opponent, is it Sedell?
Thomas Sedell.
I think he's doing a lot of work. I think that could be a race that could be close in nature, too. So I think Ward 1, Ward 7, I think, are going to be particularly close races, I believe.
I want to throw something to Larry, because Larry, again, Larry's part of this conversation. Is the social media arm of this where he kind of oversees it. And I believe there's another race that's here that could be interesting that bears the watch. I believe
you're talking about Ward 5?
Ward 5, where a part of me thinks that the incumbent has always had the vote. 14,
Dennis Napoli.
14 years in a political act, a peace activist like Ollie Spears who comes along. There have been issues that have percolated with that particular race that maybe if you wanted to kind of weigh in on it, sir.
Are we talking signs?
Well, again, the word allegedly, yes. We don't want to...
Yes, allegedly.
But what I'm saying is there have been conversations on Brockton Hub in regards to this particular race, in regards to the two candidates. Just kind of share, elaborate.
First of all, I think that Ollie is a very strong opponent for Dennis Napoli at this point.
Are you sure about that? Are you saying he's as far as...
Maybe that's my general opinion, but it's also what I've gotten back from all of the feedback
I see. Right. Because when here's the thing I'll ask you.
Sure.
Strong as far as support or strong as far as issues? That's what I'd want to know.
I think strong as far as support, because I think that they're both attacking the same issues here, you know. But I also think that, you know, with that whole movement of change, you know, just the fact of having a different person there to do the same job is what's motivating these people.
Okay.
Bernie? We're talking about, let's look at the votes over the summer for some of the things that, quite frankly, have angered the voters. Raising taxes and that last firefighter union contract.
People are upset about that.
It is a big deal. Sure. In a city that is struggling, that basically, quite frankly, can't support itself without the state. And here we are, you know, doing this type of thing at this juncture and at this moment in time. There are people who are looking for change, and they're angered by those moves. And then you look at some of the names here, and the vast majority of them voted in for it. Some of them voted against it and then flipped.
Yes.
You know, so...
And, of course, he's holding up some of the absentee ballots. Yeah. For folks. Radio not being a visual medium. I
well, you have your little camera over there, Kevin.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Okay, I'll see. There it is.
But let's see what happens. I think the retail politics and the going door-to-door, the canvassing, the talking face-to-face with people, reaching out to your vote in some of the more traditional ways, as well as educating people on the issues, are going to carry the day. I've heard some outlandish promises from some of the city council candidates. This person will make sure there's never another tax increase. That person's going to single-handedly, you know, deal with the crime issue. It's unbelievable.
That's why I love you. Because she just created a segue.
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind, Larry, could we play, let's play a couple of the political one and political two, if you could, my friend.
Yes or no? Let's start with Robert Sullivan.
No, we can always educate.
Okay. Jim Daly?
It's not really a yes or no question. I think we can do more.
Okay. Craig Pina?
We can do more. No.
Okay. Paul Becht?
Absolutely, we can do more, so that's a no.
I believe that these, again, this was
the lightning round?
Our lightning round, our famous lightning round. Here on ATD when we had the candidates forum on October 20th, and the first question that was asked was in regards to drug education. Could there be enough? Larry, if you could play the second one for me, my friend.
Are you for or against residency for city employees? Let's start with Craig Pina. Yes or no?
How can I answer that, yes or no? in the way I explained it, yes.
Okay. Paul Beckner, yes or no?
I'm for it.
Okay. Jim Daly?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Robert Sullivan?
The city employees that fall into that, yes.
So there was another semblance of the lightning round. Now, I believe, do we still have Richard on the line? Richard?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You're still, now, did you say we have another call, Larry? Now, can we put that, pipe that through? Or no, okay, we can't. Richard, I think we gotta wrap things up with you to take phone calls. I guess
okay,
that's what I'm being told.
All right, thanks for letting me be part of this, and I'm sorry that I wasn't able to make it down there, but work. Our last-minute work commitment came up. So.
Anything you want to say in closing, though, in regards to tomorrow?
In the famous words of James Michael Curley, vote early and often.
Richard, thank you so much on behalf of my son and his friends who are students in the Brockton Public Schools for your service.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's something that's very near and dear to my heart. All of my kids graduated from the Brockton Public Schools, so it's something that... I've never shied away from the commitment to the schools, even when I left the school committee. But thanks to all of you who support and do things for the city of Brockton. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay, you take care, guys.
Take care, Richard.
Yes, bye-bye.
So we'll open up the phone lines, 781-837-4900. Folks want to call in, whether you're a candidate. I would prefer a candidate who, you know, might have opposition, but, you know, we're not going to say no to anybody. Or maybe you're a voter. Maybe you're somebody who is on Larry's Brockton Hub. Maybe you want to chime in about something. Stay on topic. Don't. You know, some people want to call in and want to talk about other things. I've kind of already seen some things that have been posted that are off topic in regards to Larry's kind of put it out there saying, hey, we're talking on the air, and someone's already kind of posted something else. And,
oh, yeah.
Stay on topic here. That's what is important. And what you had said, Betsy, in regards to folks promising things.
I have to say, 30 years ago, between 25 and 30 years ago, there was a proposal for a methadone clinic in the city of Brockton to address the heroin addiction in the city. And people were uniformly opposed to it. Not everybody, but people said, we don't want to bring those bad people down here. Fast forward to 30 years later, and we have got an opiate crisis. We also, the mayor has established a commission to deal with it. And so people are taking that issue seriously. But what if, and some of the folks who are talking about these issues now were involved all those years ago. What if things have been handled a little differently?
It would have had impact. It could not have not had impact.
Of course.
But, again, we go back to that period of time where it was a very closed group of people, closed mindset.
Saying the same things that people are saying now.
About
yes.
the power plant or about drugs?
No, not about drugs. About human services ruining
yes.
the city.
Yes.
I'm hearing the same things
yes.
over and over again. But,
just to jump in real quick. Yeah. I mean, if you traveled outside of the country, if you traveled to a country that doesn't have the safety net that this country has, and if you look at the abject poverty next to ridiculous wealth,
right.
but the abject poverty in some of these countries is 30% and 40% of their population, a staggering, frightening number. We don't get to be as great a country as we are without helping our own.
The requirement is a balanced approach.
Yes,
it's got
absolutely.
To be it's got to balance the concerns of people who don't have an understanding of how to break the cycles of violence and addiction, and people who recognize the importance of addressing those so that productivity can come from all parts of our community.
We put the number out, and I believe we have one of our first candidates. I think it's Ray Henningsen Jr.
Yes.
How are you, Ray?
Good. I'm doing great.
Talk to us about you basically have won the seat unless somebody does a write-in campaign against you in Ward 7. Give me your thoughts as to running unopposed and what you're going to do once you're elected.
Well, obviously running unopposed is actually great, but I'm actually doing the work as if I do have a candidate. So I'm out there. I'm going to meetings. I'm meeting with PTOs, smart. PACs. The schools I'm going to, school committee meetings, et cetera. So I'm running as though I do have a campaign because I think the job requires that to take that position seriously. And, once I get elected, hopefully, on November 5th, I plan on, taking a fiscal responsibility of watching, our money and making sure that we, look at ways to improve the school system.
Anybody here have a question for Ray? No, no questions. I have to ask you, what is the most frequently thing that you've heard from the residents of Brockton, those who you've gotten out, you've talked with, whether it's a PAC, what have you been hearing that they're hoping that you're able to bring to the school committee come January?
Well, they're hoping that I can use my 20 years experience in the business world to look at the budgets it's the same as the city council. It's where is that tax money going? They want to make sure that it's being spent wisely.
All right. Well, I want to definitely thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
And giving you an opportunity. Anything you want to say in closing?
I would just encourage everybody to get out and vote tomorrow and vote for Ray Henningsen and vote tomorrow and do your civic duty.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you.
And just so folks know, polls do open at 7 o'clock, I believe. The one thing that drove me crazy before the preliminary was I was seeing it in print that polls opened at 8 and closed at 8.
Right.
7 a.m. I know that...
they open at 7 a.m. and they close at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Yeah, thank you.
School committees lost their fiscal autonomy when Proposition 2.5 was passed in 1980. So they don't have as much control. They have control of where the money goes, right. but not of how much money they get or can raise or any of that. But policy matters, and school department policy matters are such an important thing that they have input in. And there's been some crazy stuff over the years to come out of the school committee. There's also been some real diligent public servants. I think if you keep the politics and partisanship out of it, you get to the meat of the policy issues.
But usually, one of the two usually bubble to the top eventually.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you could try as
well. I'm sorry. I was saying partisanship or public policy. I think there have been people who have made their whole careers on the school committee about public policy. I went to the funeral for one former school committee man, Fred Stanton of Ward 3. He was my school committee man for years. Today, I don't ever remember, and he was politically involved, but I don't ever remember him putting politics ahead of school children.
Do you want to weigh in on something? We actually have, I believe, Craig, who is running for at-large. He'll be joining us in a moment, but do you want to say something, Bernie?
No, again, the school committee is probably one of the toughest committees to actually be on. I mean, you're talking like...
It's involved.
It's not only involved. Look at the scope and the size of the corporation itself. Right. And we are talking about our kids. Mm. You know, so it's a big deal. So when you got to take it seriously. And, you know, I'm just hoping that we're going to see some change here, and let's hope that we get some folks on there that can actually be impactful as school committee members.
And when you see demagoguery on the school committee, that's the kind of thing that leaves us all shaking our heads and going, oh, no, oh, no. And, you know, we don't brace for it until, and then when it happens, oh, my God, we wring our hands. Yeah. So it's important to keep the kids in mind.
Craig, are you there?
How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good. Talk to us about... what have you been doing since the last time we had you here at WATD?
Well, it's kind of been a whirlwind. There's a lot of door knocking, a lot of sore feet. Doing a lot of walking and knocking, a lot of meeting people, and getting out there and finding out what's on the people's minds, and then letting them know my approach to getting things done.
Give me your thoughts on this. Not only your race, but some of the other races that we're seeing around the city. Whether it's the mayoral race, are you following that? Are you following any of the ward council races?
Yeah, I've been following it kind of on the sidelines, but my main concern is campaign for Craig Pina for councilor at large. So I don't know if I have any other comments on any other race, but the councilor at large race is tough. No one ever expects how tough it is to run citywide. It's probably like running two state rep races, and as far as the size of the cities and the size of the district, and it becomes difficult when there's a lot of candidates. Fundraising isn't exactly what you'd like it to be, and you've got to find a ways to do more with less.
Now, I don't know if you've been listening all along, but just so you know who our panel is, we got Betsy Clegg, we have Bernie Hassan, and Larry Boyd, of course, from the Brockton Hub. We've been kind of talking about the races today. So I believe Betsy wanted to kind of chime in for a second.
Just make a very quick comment that if you think running is hard, wait till you actually take office.
Exactly.
No pain, no gain, Craig.
Craig, is it crime and taxes? Are those the top two issues, or is there anything else that you're hearing from the
Rock
residents?
I'm going to tell you, pretty high up on the list, and you know, it doesn't really come as a surprise, but it's not what a lot of the candidates want to talk about is the atrocious condition of the streets in the city. That's what a lot of people want to talk about. They want to know. I myself have had to have a couple alignments on my car last year.
So driving
around the city is difficult because of the condition of the streets.
So you're questioning what Chapter 90 money and how it's doled out? What?
I'm not questioning it. That's something that's on people's minds. They want to know what's the process of getting streets repaired and repaved, and there's a lot of streets in the city, and there's only so much money to go around, and there's got to be a fair way to decide.
Yeah, because as of right now, it's one road per ward per year, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So
of course there are some major roads that require state funding and the entire process is different, but of course everybody wants their own road done first, but there are some main roads like West Elm Street that needs to be done, and that's going to be done next year. Other than public safety and crime, and people want to see the city grow financially. the condition of streets has been a big issue.
How tough of it, you know, I know for the preliminary, you were kind of higher up in ballot order when there was, I think it was like 52 of you guys running for office. I'm being facetious. There were 15 that were on the ballot.
Close.
And you were higher up. You're more towards the bottom of the list this time around. Do you feel that did you have to campaign harder in order to kind of get the word out there just because of your position on the ballot?
I think it was pretty fortunate that I was first on the ballot for the preliminary, only because the 15 candidates, there were a lot of unknowns. I haven't run for office in 14 years. So it was really a race of name recognition. Coming in fourth in the preliminary showed that I had done my job getting my name out, and also the ballot position didn't hurt. So in the final election, it's really continuing that momentum and doing a lot more face to face, meeting with groups, going to events, and going door to door.
Well, we want to thank you for calling in. Like I said, we did put the word out there for candidates or voters to call in, and we wish you the best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
You got it.
Have a nice night.
You got it. Craig Pina, who's running for at large. My producer Larry's telling me that I believe we have Bill Carpenter on the line. Mr. Carpenter, are you there?
Kevin, good evening. How are you?
Pretty good. Just so you know who we have in studio, I don't know if you've been listening. We have Bernie Hassan, Larry Boyd, and we have Betsy Zulis Clegg.
Awesome. Betsy, how are you? Long time no chat.
I think I ran into you at a game. But, you know, it's interesting. Our paths never crossed in the broadcast booth. By the time you started with the Newsline program, I was already gone from WVET.
Yes, but I used to work early in the morning for many, many years.
Amen.
Well, it's nice to hear from you. And it's also, you're running quite a race out there.
It's exciting. So We ran a strong second in the preliminary, and that's exactly what we were hoping to do. But it's funny. I mean, and you folks have been around campaigns before. I mean, it's a long haul. There are ebbs and flows. It's like a roller coaster ride. You know, sometimes things are going well, and other times you wonder why you're running. But we feel really good right now. We feel as though the final 3 weeks of the campaign. You know, I really think that our campaign has caught traction. I think we have the momentum going into tomorrow. I think the debates helped me, and we picked up a lot of support coming out of the debates. And, you know, it's anecdotal. It's not scientific. But I do feel as though that the undecided voters and the late deciding voters are breaking in our direction.
Bill, I have a question for you. I'm looking at the Office of Campaign and Political Finance reports. It looks like you have about half as much in the bank as the incumbent does at this time. After the preliminary,
it's even less now.
Okay. Well, that was my question. Have you spent any money since about the 27th of October? Because I remember after the preliminary election, it seemed as though we didn't see or hear too much for a while, and that's just my perception.
And to be honest with you, Betsy, as far as exactly what was spent on what dates, I couldn't tell you because I've got other people keeping track of all of that stuff. But I mean, generally speaking, you know, overall, I'm real happy with the fundraising. I think that we've raised just as much or slightly more than Mayor Belzotti did, at least up to the last campaign report date. Clearly, though, the advantage that she had built in, Betsy, is she had a $30,000 balance coming into the campaign. She had like $29,000 left over from 2 years ago. So although we've raised about the same amount of money, I think that we've spent more than she has. And in addition to that, you know, she had a $30,000 head start. But, you know, we knew that coming in. Our goal way back when we were sitting down back in March deciding if we were going to do this or not, I felt after doing some homework and talking to other people that had run citywide campaigns, that it took $50,000 to run an effective citywide campaign. And I felt that if we could raise $50,000, we could run a winning campaign. And we understood that, you know, the mayor would probably, you know, be somewhere more between 75 and 100. But that so long as we could raise 50, that we could run an effective campaign. And that's pretty much what we've done. I think we've raised just over 50,000, and we've spent, you know, just about all of it. I don't know exactly what our balance is, but I know we don't have a whole lot left. We did buy some TV spots the last couple of weeks. We bought some print advertising yesterday. So to answer your question, yeah, we are spending it right down to the wire, whatever we've got.
Anybody else have a question? Larry, do you have a question? We just in the interest, we got like 3 minutes left for the segment.
Okay, so go ahead. Yeah.
I just want to see if anybody else has a question.
No, I mean, Bill, I guess my only question is, do you feel the power plant, you're obviously a supporter of the power plant. Do you feel that that's had any drag on your race? Do you think that's going to be
I think the biggest challenge I've had is trying to get my message clear. So I actually think in the Enterprise editorial yesterday where they endorsed me for mayor, they did the best job of outlining my position, which has been more of a pragmatic one. It's not that I'm necessarily pro-power plant. I'm trying to take a realistic approach as to where the city is today after having lost 6 court decisions and 3 appeals and spending now almost $1.5 million in outside legal fees and having reviewed some of the recent decisions. I just think it's time to reassess where we're at, and I think that the better decision in the interest of Brockton residents is to attempt to negotiate a settlement. That's what I've spoken about all along.
Very quickly, Bill.
But the reality is, let me just finish my answer. The reality is, as the mayor's not going to decide the ultimate fate of the electric plant. It's going to be some combination of the courts and the city council with the mayor being involved. So even if I were able to negotiate an agreement that I thought was a good deal, I would still have to convince a majority of the city council to sign on to it. So it's going to be something that's going to be resolved among all the parties over the course of the next couple of years.
Go ahead, Betsy, quickly.
Do you feel like you're weakening your negotiating position to say that you want to stop participating in the litigation and instead try to negotiate a settlement?
Because I think if anything, Betsy, you're the attorney, but I think the city has certainly litigated the thing pretty extensively to this point. I think there's an opportunity. I think I'm just being realistic. I don't know how else you tell the people what your plans are and campaign honestly as to what you think the better approach for the future of the city is. But what I have said, Betsy, is if I can't make a good agreement that I honestly believe is in the best interest of the people of the city, I won't make it. And if I can make what I think is a good agreement in the interest of the residents of the city, I've still got to convince the majority of the city council that it's the direction to go. But I don't think by being honest, I think if anything, I think the mayor has been less than honest on this issue because I honestly believe that she's received advice from her own legal counsel advising her that this litigation is not going to end well for the city and that she should be negotiating a settlement. And I think she's made a political decision rather than a practical decision in the best interest of the residents.
Well, let's wrap this up and give you an opportunity to let folks know where you're going to be tomorrow.
At the end of the day, I don't think it's the deciding issue in this race. I think what I've really seen over the last 3 or 4 weeks of this campaign is that the residents of Brockton are worried about their property taxes constantly going up.
Yep.
They're worried about their water bills, and they're worried about the violence on the streets of the city, and they're worried about the lack of jobs and the failing economy. And I honestly believe that these are the issues that the voters will ultimately decide on. I have a lot of support from people who do not agree with my position on the electric plant because they realize that there are huge, crucial issues facing the residents of this city that the mayor will have a direct impact on.
No, we got to wrap things up, but we definitely want to wish you the best of luck in tomorrow's race.
Well, it's great to hear from all of you guys. And, Kevin, I hope to hear or see from you tomorrow night.
Very good.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Have a great evening.
It's
great to hear from you.
Take care, Bill. Betsy, anything in closing?
Nothing. It's, like I said, it's interesting to hear the rhetoric. It's very interesting to hear what people have to say about crime and litigation during election years.
See, that's why we're going to all have to assemble
We used to have forums in the city that people came to address those issues in non-election years.
Well, let's agree that maybe we kind of get together as a group maybe and talk again in a couple, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks.
I think it's more productive.
After the dust
I'm talking
settles.
About for the community.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah. But also to have, if you have a think tank, an audio think tank for folks to kind of listen in or maybe even chime in on. Larry, anything in closing?
No, thank you for having me today, Kevin.
Excellent, and keep up the great job on the Brockton Hub.
Thank you.
Bernie.
Honestly, it was great being here, Kevin. Thanks a lot. Nice to see you both. Larry, honestly, that's
likewise.
The first time we met. Yes. We haven't seen each other in a long time.
It's a pleasure.
Again, we'll have to do it again.
We'll do it again. Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
We're going to step aside when we come back. We're going to speak with Scott Sudikoff and talk about those Boston Red Sox. Don't go anywhere.